Good morning. Welcome to worship. Good to be with you again. Special welcome to any visitors. We're glad you're here, and pray this time would be a blessing to you as we gather in Jesus' name to worship Him and to hear His Word. We have a few announcements as we prepare for worship. The Shady Oak Bible Study is on for this Wednesday evening, virtual study. So if you want to participate in that, contact Pastor Giovanni and he can give you the necessary information. Note, church cleanup coming up this Saturday, April 24th at 9 a.m., weather permitting. So if you want to help rake up the leaves, spruce up the church property, and get things ready for our for the spring and summer, get things looking nice outside, please show up and your help will be appreciated. Please note that we have another upcoming event you want to pay attention to. April 30th, Lutheran Brethren Seminary is having their graduation ceremony. Our own Pastor Giovanni is among those set to graduate. That's this April 30th, and I believe that's at Bethel Church. I think there's a well right there. How about that? Yeah, Bethel Church at 7 p.m. So if you can, please come and join in that celebration. And, welcome to the Viums. Pastor Dave and Crystal Viem here are joining us in worship today. As many of you know, Dave serves as president of Lutheran Brethren Seminary. Welcome. And we have this Sunday is our designated Mission Sunday. If you want to give a special missions offering, support our missionaries, the Hoshes, and other mission work, you can designate that and put it in the offering. Just put in Mission Sunday, and we'll make sure it goes where it needs to. Along those lines, just want to highlight a missions resource. There's a few of these left on the back stand near the exit door. The World Christian Prayer Guide for Muslims, and this is their month of Ramadan, and so Christians have designated this as a time of special prayer that those in the Muslim world would come to know Jesus as their Savior, and this is a really good resource. Highlights each year different specific Muslim people groups and communities around the world, and this year they're highlighting what God is doing among Muslims here in the U.S. and in North America, and some really compelling things, encouraging things of what God is doing, drawing those who formerly were Muslims into faith in Jesus Christ. And so pick one of these up, and I encourage you to use it, and it gives you a different prayer item for each day through the month of Ramadan. Those are the announcements. Do we have any additional that should be made? Just to make a little commercial here, we plan to start up our midweek Bible study on Tuesdays. And if you're interested in that, please contact me and I'll give you the information. All right. Well, let us hear from God's Word as we gather to worship Him this morning. From Psalm 4, our call to worship. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for allowing us to gather here today, to gather in your name, to hear your word, to sing your praises. Draw our hearts together, Lord, in unison to give you the glory, the worship, and praise and thanks that are due to you. Bless now this time, this gathering, and speak, Lord, and may we, your servants, be listening. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand, and if you're able, and sing with us, Mighty to Save. The words are up there, or they're in your bulletin. Please join us. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Please continue singing with us. Why worry when you can pray? In your bulletin is one that the girls will sing for you, and at the very end I'd like you to join in if you have learned it by that time. It's a simple song but beautiful words, Jesus strong and kind. So listen to them, and I'll kind of try to remember to let you know when you get to join us.
Yeah.
Let's take this opportunity to confess our sins to the Lord and hear the gracious words of the forgiveness of our sins. I invite you to join with me. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, to us all. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able and confess together our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me, sir. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you as your children, thanking you for your love for us, your care and concern for us, your willingness to give us good things to those who ask. And so we do ask, Lord, for good things. We ask for the good of your kingdom and your work in this world. We pray for the Wolof speaking people here in North America who are traditionally Muslim in belief. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing a work among them, bringing them to faith in Jesus, and we pray, Lord, it would continue, that a Wolof-speaking church in North America would be founded soon, and that you would use Wolof believers to reach their neighbors and others for Jesus, and find healing and forgiveness and salvation in him, and him alone. We pray, Lord, for David and Sonia Narveson and their children as they continue on their home assignment. We pray for a good school environment for the kids and for David and Sonia as they visit churches and other groups to share about their ministry in Chad. We pray, Lord, you would bless the ministry of Stavanger and help us, Lord, view ourselves as your kingdom workers placed here in our community. Lord, embolden us to share you in word and deed with our neighbors and those that you bring into our lives. And strengthen us in faith, Lord. May you make us faithful and growing in faith in you through the reading and study of your word and gathering for worship, through prayer, and encouraging one another. We ask these things, Lord, and for healing for the sick, for comfort for the lonely and bereaved. And we pray for our nation, Lord, and pray for our state, our community, for this world, for those in positions of leadership, grant them wisdom in decision-making. And help us all, Lord, through trying times, to look to you for our comfort, our strength, our peace, our hope. We ask these things in Jesus' name, who taught us also to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our gospel text for this morning comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. And you might notice it sounds kind of similar to our passage from last week. This is Luke's telling of the same account of Jesus appearing to his disciples after his resurrection. Please rise as you are able for the reading of God's word. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, Do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I'd like to begin this morning by sharing a poem written by Norman Shirk called Let Me Meet You. Let me meet you on the mountain, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to burn a whole bush, just a few smoking branches, and I would surely be your Moses. Let me meet you on the water, Lord, just once. It wouldn't have to be out on the lake, just a puddle after it rains, and I would surely be your Peter. Let me meet you on the road, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to blind me on the expressway, just a few bright lights on the way to church, and I would surely be your Paul. Let me meet you, Lord, just once, anywhere, anytime. Just meeting you in the Word is so hard sometimes. Must I always be your Thomas? To be honest with you, there are times when I have felt just like that. I have felt like if I could just have some assurance that Jesus is who he said he was, then all of my doubts would be quieted. In our text this morning, the disciples also struggle with their doubts with Jesus being who he said he was. Jesus had openly told his disciples that he would be rejected, that he would suffer, that he would die, and 3 days later, rise from the dead. Yet when he appeared to them, they are startled and frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. If his very disciples, who were told beforehand exactly what would happen to Jesus, that he would be betrayed and killed and raised from the dead, if they still doubted in the face of Jesus' resurrected body, where is our hope? How does God deal with doubters? Jesus reassures doubters that he is the Messiah. In our gospel text today, we will see how Jesus reassures doubters that he is the Messiah. First, Jesus seeks out those who are in doubt. By the time Jesus appeared to his disciples in our passage this morning, they had already received two accounts of his resurrection. At the beginning of Luke chapter 24, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and Joanna go to Jesus' tomb, and they find that someone has rolled away the stone, and that Jesus' body is nowhere to be found. These women are met by two angels, and they tell them plainly that Jesus has risen from the dead. But when these women tell the disciples what they had seen and heard at Jesus' tomb, they don't believe the women. It says, because their words seem to them like nonsense. So the first report of Christ's resurrection is dismissed by the disciples as being mere nonsense, even though Jesus told them to expect his resurrection. They doubted that it could be true. So then Jesus appears to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, but he kept them from recognizing him. And Jesus showed them in all of the scriptures what was written about him. But as soon as their eyes were opened to recognize Jesus, he vanished. So like the women, these men traveled to Jerusalem to tell the disciples about what they had seen and heard, to tell the disciples the good news that their Messiah had been resurrected. And that is where our text for this morning begins, with the disciples gathered together, talking about what these men had seen and heard on the road to Emmaus, that they had seen Jesus Christ, their Messiah, resurrected from the dead. At this point, it's clear that the disciples still don't believe that Jesus was resurrected. And what is amazing to me is that Jesus does not give up on them. He seeks them out. He appeared to his disciples and he asked, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." You see, Jesus doesn't leave them in their doubt. He appeared to them, offering to them his very body that they might touch and believe that he was truly flesh and bone. That the same body that was crucified and buried has now been resurrected. He sought them out so that they would know he was their Messiah. This point is illustrated in Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus. Here is Zacchaeus, this wealthy tax collector, this sinner who makes his money by overtaxing. And Jesus looks out at the crowd, and he sees Zacchaeus in the tree. And he says to him, "Zacchaeus, come down." He says, "I must stay at your house today." And the crowd just can't believe it. Is Jesus really going to associate with this sinner? Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That includes you. Like with his disciples, Jesus knows when you struggle with doubt. The good news is that your hope is not in yourself. Your hope is not in your ability to remove doubt from yourself. Your hope is in Jesus, who reassures doubters that he is the Messiah by seeking out those who are in doubt. Jesus also reassures doubters that he is the Messiah by his resurrection. Carl Sagan famously said, "Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence." I can't think of a more extraordinary claim than that of being the Messiah. Being the one that would take away the sins of the world, being the one that through whom all of the families on the earth would be blessed. And there is surely no more extraordinary evidence than resurrection from the dead. Jesus' claims that he would rise from the dead might have been easy to dismiss before, but now they are undeniable in the face of his resurrected body. The Apostle Paul often connects the idea of hope with resurrection. In Romans chapter 8, he writes, "Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" You see, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And because of that, he now intercedes for us at the right hand of his Father, so that we can be assured that there is now nothing that can separate us from the love of God. When my daughter Emma was born, she would sleep next to us in this little bassinet. And when she was about 6 months old, we moved her into her own room, and she started sleeping in a crib. And for a while, she would wake up every single day, and she would realize that she was alone, and she would cry out. And she wouldn't stop crying until either my wife or I would go in there and comfort her. But after a while, she learned that we were coming for her, and she stopped crying. Now she wakes up in the morning and she will just happily play for, man, I don't even know, 30 minutes or longer, because she knows that we are coming back for her. Like my daughter in her crib, the disciples felt abandoned by Jesus. They doubted that anyone was coming for them. What good was their Messiah if they were separated from him by death? But by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus reassures doubters that he is the Messiah. Like the disciples, we also struggle with doubt. The good news is that God does not cast us aside because of our doubt. Our hope is not found in our lack of doubt. Our hope is found in the one who seeks us out. Our hope is found in the one who is resurrected for our sake. So when you find yourself in doubt, call out to him. Trust in him. And know that he came for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as sinners in need of your grace. We confess that we do not trust in and rely on you as we should. Too often we doubt you, Lord. We thank you for your Son who seeks us out, and by his resurrection assures us that he is our Messiah. We ask that you would give us new hearts that cling to you and to your word, receiving the promises that you have given to us through your Son. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to rise as you're able for our closing chorus. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.